Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. And every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we are taking a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel good, the frustrating, and the faith enhancing. It's faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warmth, clarity, and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. When was the last time you did everything right and still watch things not work out? That's what we're going to talk about in our Anchor Point devotional. I want to talk about the miss, the failure, the stuff that we try to hide or rush right past, even though that might be the very thing that God uses to form us. Then we're going to get to another type of failure. This is a bit more bizarre. A man decides to steal a city bus and keeps driving the route. Then after that, we'll get to our headline story today on why things seem so fractured. Do we still know what it means to belong to a country? We still have a citizenship oath in America, but have we stopped forming people into what that oath is actually for? I think it has a few cracks. We got a lot to explore. I'm so glad you're here. Now, you might say, okay, well, how is this positive? It is. Trust me. So just say there's something that you just keep trying over and over again, and it's not working out. Well, I was at my son's basketball game this week and just super fun watching these kids. And there was one kid in the game and he just kept failing. And it was on one hand kind of heartbreaking to watch, but it was really cool to watch him. He was trying so hard and just taking every opportunity he could to score and shoot, and he just couldn't seem to get it into the net. In life, we tend to celebrate the basket, but not the miss. But isn't it the miss that actually helps us to get to the basket? You're probably familiar with the Dyson vacuum cleaner. They are a huge company now. They're one of the best vacuum cleaners on the market. Now, do we know how they got that way? Like, how are they this big, successful brand? It's because they failed, and they failed more than anybody else. They missed the basket over and over again. They kept trying. James Dyson, he's the founder of Dyson. 5,126 of his prototypes failed, completely failed before he began to have any success. Now, Dyson is a $6 billion company. A man in Canada, in Ontario, stole a city bus and then just kept driving the route, like picking up passengers, stopping at the red lights, checking people's bus passes. And I just find the story so funny. I know it's so wrong, it's so bad, yet so funny, because he turned a felony into like a part-time transit job. I would love to know what's going through his head. The police did pull him over. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but he's facing some serious charges, theft, obstruction, and driving while you're not a licensed driver to be driving this bus. And you're ready for this part? People are getting on the bus. He denied someone with an expired pass because that would be wrong to let them on the bus. So this guy's got some morals, which I will applaud. They're a little mixed up, but there's a light. There is definitely light that we can harness, and we can help this guy turn his life around. Now on to our headline story. Well, we do have a citizenship oath in America. We just stopped teaching people what that actually means. And I don't just mean for immigrants. I mean for all of us, because here's the thing. We're pretty mixed up as a country right now. And I don't mean all the usual noise, the headlines, the arguments, all the back and forth on social media and every news outlet. That's exhausting for sure. But that's not the real issue. What we've got is a civic life problem. And I think a big part of it comes down to assimilation, or really our failure to understand what this word actually means anymore.
The immigrants that we have now aren't even immigrants in the sense that they're immigrating here and assimilating. They're like colonists. Like, they come here and they're like, I am bringing my flag and my culture.
This idea that if all these ethnic groups and these immigrants move to these Western countries and assimilate and start dressing and sounding like the people that live there, the natives, then they will be treated like human beings. It's such a lie.
Can we stop asking immigrants to assimilate? That's literally not the point of America. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say change your speech, language, food, or culture, but what the Constitution does do is protect religion as well as speech. The Constitution also provides a legal pathway to citizenship, which doesn't require any type of personality makeover.
When white people say they want people to assimilate, they mean they just want you to be more white. Like, that's they might not understand it, but they're just asking people to, like, yo, you need to tone down your culture and be more white, because, like, I don't know what you're doing and it's making me uncomfortable.
Well, welcome back to Latino Studies 101. We're going to talk about assimilation.
Not a great look. The mayor condemned it. The White House condemned it. But what about Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib? Is she okay with her constituents chanting death to America?
Yeah, I'd say we're a little confused. Even saying assimilation might get us in trouble because it can sound kind of harsh to some people, controlling, like, wait, are you trying to say that it's okay to tell immigrants how they have to live, what they can wear? Are you saying everybody has to be the same and they just get rid of their culture and their heritage? But that's not actually what assimilation has ever meant, at least not in a healthy society. And it's sad because I think some people truly think that, or think that people think that, which is also a problem, but none of that is assimilation. Assimilation is about belonging with individual responsibility. And that's not a bad thing. I think that's a really good thing. Sharing civic life, understanding the rules of our shared public spaces and participating in something that is much bigger than just ourselves. And without this, I think we get, well, I think we get what we see today, and that's kind of frightening. And this didn't happen overnight, but it is where we are. Talking about our nation, it seems to me that we have lost our way when it comes to a sense of national belonging. I think what we do have is belonging. We have partisan belonging. We have different groups that have emerged out of these partisan belongings. So we're not really American first. We are political team first. We're anything but American team first. And so whatever sense of nation we have and shared commitment that we do have, but when that disappears, it feels like a loss of partnership. It just turns into a competition, which is what we see in the news now. You know, honestly, this is like a bad marriage.
Where are you going? I told you yesterday I was going to pick out paint colors for the bedroom today.
I told you I wanted to go golfing.
Yeah, and I said too bad.
I thought that meant for you.
We have to add a little humor to this situation. That was a clip from the show Everybody Loves Raymond. And I think it sums up our problem with assimilation pretty well. I mean, it doesn't have to be dramatic, just a slow drip where over time, everything starts to turn into my rights versus your rights. And nobody remembers what rights we actually had or why we're fighting about the rights or why we're actually committed together. And the whole thing kind of just falls apart. What I think we're dealing with is a bigger failure of shared civic norms. And this is across the board. So newcomers to our country that are legal or illegal. And it is not just about immigrants, even though we tend to think about that with assimilation. You tend to think of immigrants and naturalization. But I do think this also applies to native-born citizens as well. It's pretty interesting to see what other countries are doing about this. So take Germany, for example. Citizenship there isn't automatic. You got to go over German law and history and all the democratic values. And so the expectations are pretty clear. If you are going to be there, you need to understand how their country works and what holds it all together. Japan, I would love to go to Japan, but their naturalization is quite rare. If they even consider you, you are expected to have near fluency in Japanese. You have to show evidence of cultural integration, like in every area of life. You've got to totally renounce your previous citizenship. So it's a serious commitment. And even if you do all those things, there's a pretty good shot they're going to turn you down. And then we've got France or the Netherlands. The Netherlands especially has one of the most explicit state-run assimilation systems that can take up to 3 years to complete. Language proficiency, your civic education, the acceptance of shared public norms that you have to understand and really see that as an integral part of you being part of their society. It's part of your responsibility. So you're not just moving there. You have got to learn how to live there. So it's really kind of interesting to see what these other countries are doing. And I think there's this overall understanding that is baked into this process that shared civic life doesn't just happen on its own. It really has to be taught, it has to be learned, it has to be lived. And none of this is considered cruel or extreme in these countries. It's understood that if a nation is going to function, people have to be formed into its civic life. Language matters, law matters, shared understanding matters. And that is where I think the contrast with here in the United States is so hard to ignore. Germany asked 33 civics questions out of 300, and you need to get half of those right. America, we asked 10 out of 100, and you only need to get 6 right. Are we making citizenship too easy?
Is 60% okay? 60% of anything, is that okay? 60% is passing. 60% is a D. 59 is a F, but 60 is a D. But is that really okay?
Kind of funny. I think Trump actually increased the number of questions during his first term. And then Biden, I think, changed it back. And now Trump's back. I think he increased it again to, I think we're at 128 questions. And the number of what you have to get right to pass, I think we're like around 12 out of 20 questions. Don't quote me on that. And now I'm not saying that these tests are the be-all, end-all. I'm not saying tests alone make good citizens. They don't necessarily, but it's important to know this information. That's just part of the process. And we do, in the United States, do more than just the civics exam. But are we doing enough? Because my point is, belonging comes with expectations. Shared civic life does not just happen on its own. And if we are barely teaching what that life is or how it works or how it matters, then how are we doing? Like, I don't think this is going so well. I'm not just talking about immigrants. We are barely teaching our own kids. Only about 10 states require a full year of civics education. Some do a semester. Other states are doing nothing at all. And I don't think that's good, because when we stop forming citizens, it shouldn't surprise us when assimilation starts to break down. One way we see this is with illegal immigration. Okay, this is not just about crossing the border, breaking the law that way. When we accept undocumented workers, then what happens? They skip the whole on-ramp to American life. Okay, you know what this is like? Say you sneak into a corporate building that you don't belong in, you don't work for this company. You didn't go through their orientation. You don't know what the company does. You don't know how it operates. You don't know the rules, who's responsible for what. But you're physically inside the building. You're just not really part of the organization. So when you're trying to live there, work there, find your way around, it's going to create all kinds of problems. So when someone is here outside the law, they are often outside the whole system altogether. There's no licensing. There's no testing. There are no shared standards. And this is how we end up with things like the unqualified drivers on the road or truckers or people who literally can't read road signs that keep us safe. That's not just a random occurrence. That is our whole civic system failing. And then it's like the domino effect. It's the chain reaction. People are then worried and stuck in their fear. And then you have lower wages and exploitation and just it's a whole mess. And for anybody that thinks they're helping this person that's illegal, I mean, it's iffy, because in many ways, there's a good chance that you could actually be making things worse for that person and their families. Compassion is good. We need compassion. But when it's not paired with this formation, I don't think it creates belonging. And I think if these are the people that you are trying to help, I think you can end up actually leaving this person or people stranded. And then some people are probably going to say to this, well, okay, forget borders altogether. We don't need borders. That's part of the problem. Just let everybody in. We'll get everybody acclimated. They'll understand how to be part of our country. Okay, well, that's a huge conversation for another time. I personally don't agree with open borders, but I just think even if we did that, it is not going to solve this problem that we're talking about with civic formation. Because I don't think this is just about illegal immigration. It shows up with legal immigration as well. When people come through the right way, they come through the front door, but they never really step into shared civic life. They're here and they're contributing, but civically, there's still a pretty big disconnect. Take the childcare fraud happening in Minnesota in the news right now. We're talking, I mean, I thought it was in 200, 300 million. Some people are saying billions of public funds that are meant to help low-income families afford daycare so families could go to work. And instead, investigators are finding that these centers were basically setups and ghost buildings and a total scam. Here's the Economic Times talking about this.
As much as $100 million a year is being stolen by shady daycare center operators.
So how much money are we talking about stolen from the American taxpayer?
Well, in excess of $1 billion.
Ripping off state-run programs intended to feed low-income kids, house the disabled, and provide services to autistic children.
Where are the children at? Do you know where the children are at? Where are the children at in these daycare centers?
I don't care.
Are there children here today?
No.
No children?
Yes.
So this is Quality Learning Center. Hello, we'd like to ask where the money's going.
Attorney General Keith Ellison was focused on one thing and one thing only, and that was keeping these folks in business.
When do you think Governor Waltz knew about this fraud?
Some of these recent investigations in Minnesota specifically link members of the Somali immigrant community to some of these childcare fraud schemes. And these are legal immigrants that we are aware of anyway, at least. And yes, there are most likely native-born Americans, and I'm sure some illegal immigrants tied up in this big mess as well. But the reason I am pinpointing Somalis here is not because all Somalis are scam artists or uniquely dishonest people, but I think we need to look at where people come from. And I want to look at what kind of systems Somalis have been formed in. What, like, where do they get their formation? Because Somalia has been for decades without a strong, trusted central government. And in places like that, you don't even have a loose trust in your government. You can, but you're going to lose that game. And you are just trying to manage and survive by trusting your family, your clan, your close network. You do what you do for your community. There is just so much corruption. And in societies like this that are shaped by weak and corrupt governments, there's no loyalty there. There's no trust there. So your loyalty tends to run toward family and clan. But in the context here, in places like this, taking from the state or taking from institutions or all these other things, it's not necessarily seen as harming people. It can be understood as protecting your community. Not that that's okay. Just trying to explain what might be going on here to a degree is much more complex than that. Here, America, we run on the basic idea of government by the people, for the people. At least that's the goal. Public systems are meant to belong to all of us. So when somebody corrupts or exploits them, it's not sticking it to the government. Who cares? It's you're taking from the people next to you. And so when somebody comes from a place where the government has often been so corrupt or even non-existent, it creates a problem. And I think we're seeing some of that. And then when you don't have assimilation, stealing from a government program might not feel like you're stealing from people. It can feel like you're outsmarting a system to provide for your own group. Again, that doesn't excuse it in any way. It's horrible. It's wrong. It needs to stop. And it's so entangled with so many other things. And you can have both things going on at the same time. People coming from a country where there's a lot of this, that it's almost like a survival mechanism. And you can also have people that are just intentionally scamming the system. But without assimilation and understanding the inner workings of our country, it makes it a lot harder to rid ourselves of all of these scams and corruption and all that other stuff that goes on. But like I said, this is not just an immigrant thing. Many of us lovely native-born Americans aren't exactly model citizens either. A lot of us live in this country without really knowing how it works or what it asks of us as freedom-loving individuals that we have. Praise God for that. Let me just start with a simple example that I can think of. Jury duty. Okay, jury duty is assimilation. It's showing up for people you don't know because you share a country. This is your civic duty. And we say we all want justice, but then we complain about the courts and unfair rulings and crime and so forth. And then all of a sudden a jury notice shows up in the mail. And what do we do? Oh my gosh, this is horrible. How do I get out of this? I don't have time for this. I don't want to do this. But jury duty is one of the most basic fundamental ways that a free society actually works. But when half of the people don't show up for this, yes, the system will still run, but I think it runs far weaker, is probably less fair in that sense, less representative. And you'll get the same thing that you do with jury duty as with voting. We complain about our leadership, policy, corruption, all that. And then a huge chunk of people just decide, nah, it's raining. I'm not going to go vote. And then we got the everyday stuff. We scam each other. We cut corners. We are awful to each other. That's where, in small ways and big ways, this is where things like the Paycheck Protection Program that we had during COVID, PPP fraud, I'm sure you've heard of this. It's been still in the news. And a lot of people, many native-born citizens, saw an opportunity to take money that they weren't entitled to and took it. Hundreds of millions of dollars, poof, just gone. Here's WPLG Local 10 News out of Miami.
Hearing from Broward Sheriff Gregory Tony, after 17 deputies have been arrested and charged with fraud, Local 10's Roy Ramos is live with this developing story. Roy.
Nicole, and we have learned that nearly 100 BSO employees did apply for the PPP loans. And of the 100, 17 of them are now facing federal charges. Well, as you mentioned today, we did get a chance to speak with Broward Sheriff Gregory Tony about these allegations. And he says if his employees were involved in this type of criminal activity, they do not deserve to be working in the law enforcement profession.
Did you believe you were receiving these loans legitimately?
17 members of the Broward Sheriff's Office, which include both BSO deputies and detention deputies, released from the federal courthouse in Fort Lauderdale after being indicted on charges that include wire fraud after federal investigators said they fraudulently applied for and received funds from the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP loans.
Failing at our civic duty. When you become a citizen, you take an oath. Now, if we're born here, we don't have to do that. But I don't think that means our citizenship comes without any expectations, or at least I don't think it should. Because at its core, it's all about how we show up, respecting the law, owning our choices, having the values, participating in the life that we share in this country. Hey, look at marriage for a second. Okay, just as an example, the divorce rate is still hovering around 50%. And one of the most common reasons people give for divorce is lack of commitment. And so in marriage, something starts to break down when we stop seeing ourselves as one flesh and we start seeing ourselves as separate again, no longer united, no longer oriented to these same commitments. And I think the same thing can happen, at least a version of this, with our citizenship. De-assimilation, okay, this shows up when we stop seeing the Constitution as the framework that protects our freedom. And then we start to see it as something to work around when we don't like it, or you know, something we don't want to bother with. That's what it looks like when the vow, or the oath in this case, stops shaping how we live. It's not going to hold a family together, and it's not going to hold a nation together either. Now for us, because we can't live this without putting ourselves in the mix here. We're part of this too. What am I modeling as a citizen? And do I show up for these things that might seem a little boring, or I just don't feel like doing it, like jury duty or local meetings or helping a neighbor in need? Do I do those things? What about my word? Am I keeping my word when nobody's watching? All the rules that we yell at each other online about, they're not following the rules. They're not following the law. Okay, what about us? We expect newcomers and other people to respect these rules, but what am I doing? Am I willing to ignore these rules myself, or am I following along? Do I want a country with order, but I'm resisting the discipline that the order requires? Because we can't pass down what we don't live out. So assimilation, yes. This is not something the government can create and manufacture. It's something our American culture models. And when I say American, I don't mean white people or race or any of that. I'm talking about our values, about the way we live and the standards that we try to uphold and what we try to pass on by example. It's about agreeing to live under these same laws, honoring the Constitution, and taking responsibility for the freedom that we've been given. And when those things are lived out imperfectly, of course, because we are sinners, that's probably the biggest issue here of everything. But when we live these things out imperfectly, but faithfully, that's a beautiful thing. So I don't see assimilation as just a newcomer thing, an immigrant thing. It's an all of us thing, since we have forgotten what it means to be American. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Join the Insight Out community on Facebook. I would love to see you there. Trying to kickstart that, get some conversations going. Let me know where maybe you do see things feeling a little more fractured than they used to be, whether that's in our country or our communities, maybe even your family. And why do you think that's going on? And what do we do about it? Also, let me know your thoughts. Maybe you completely disagree with me here. That's the beauty of this. Either way, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the issue. I mean, after all, just remember, you are listening to someone who put her pants on backwards two times this week or last week. So then that's not a assimilation issue. That's just a reminder that I don't have it all together. Onward we go. And my only real goal in this life is to become more like Christ. And if I move even a little bit in that direction today, then it's a good day. Remember to see clearly, choose wisely, and live Insight Out. I'll see you next time.